The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, coming to you from the new luxurious Beverly Studios. Kingy, is it here?
Hi, Benny.
In Hollywood.
No, we're not in Hollywood.
No, we're not in Hollywood. We're in a new studio to bring you the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast.
It's a bit more relaxed.
Yeah, Jason will be thrilled with this beaming out of the new...
Jared,
yes. Jared will be absolutely thrilled too. No, look, it's a good little setup they've produced for us in here at K-Rock. There's a reason why, under that banner, we can't inform anybody of the Bluetooth story. But nonetheless, Kingy, we soldier on, and the cats...
The cats aren't soldiering.
Well... No, Kingy, the frustration levels of fans, I think, do you think it's being heightened?
Yes.
Just because of the loss or because of the way in which they lost? The team setup, do you think, is causing some consternation?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, what do you think of all that?
You're trying to manufacture blokes into positions that they don't usually play, and that worries me. As much as Sam De Koning was... probably played his best game since 2022.
Yeah, he was enormous.
He was huge. So does that give them more fuel for thought about, well, hang on.
Keep playing him there.
Who's our best ruck? Does Mitch Edwards go, oh, you're playing Saturday against Gold Coast, not Friday night?
Well, that was probably helped against Adelaide by the fact that there was no Thilthorpe.
No.
So had Thilthorpe been playing, you wonder whether the Cats would have played De Koning in defence, which you'd hope the answer to that would have been yes.
Does De Koning go to King... Friday night, does O'Sullivan get first crack?
Oh, geez, Kingy. Oh, yeah, you're right. I mean, they're going to look at this and say how well Sam De Koning went.
Mm.
Played like Gary Dempsey without the gruff voice. But he...
Well, we wouldn't know. You very rarely hear from
Sam
DeKoning.
That's true, Kingy. Maybe he's sort of three octaves below Barry White that we just don't know. But look, he played like three octaves below Barry White on Thursday night. And... yeah, look, you're right, though. I think it muddies the waters, unfortunately,
yep.
Playing well in that position. You know, the club will say, how good was he, which you can't argue. But then...
Jack Henry's still stuck in the fourth.
Yeah, I can't see it. I noticed on Thursday, wasn't it? Thursday night, there was probably four or five occasions when the ball, particularly in the second half, even in the last quarter, I reckon there was a couple, the ball was kicked in long. There was three or four cats all flying for it.
Yep.
And ground level, not one person at ground level.
Correct.
Now, if blind Freddie can see that, surely the coaches can see that.
Mm.
Now, Ollie Wiltshire, I've come to the conclusion after seven games, is not a small forward. He's not a small forward's arsehole.
No, he's a
playmaker.
He's a grindmaster.
Yeah, he's a wingman playmaker.
Yep.
And he played quite well in the last quarter.
Yes.
He struggled up to then.
So he'll probably...
But he's not a crumbing inside forward 50 forward.
And he'll probably get dropped because he played well in the last quarter.
Well, if we're going on the Jai Clark theory, he'll be out for the rest of the year. He won't get back in. So, especially against Adelaide.
Yes.
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 If you play well against Adelaide in the last quarter, you'll be out for sure. So anybody who played well in the last quarter will possibly get dropped this week, including Sam De Koning. But Wiltshire is not a scrumming inside forward 50. He could kick you a goal, I think, running off the wing or running onto the ball. He is not a creative type around your feet, I don't think. Hopefully that...
Should Manor be that, or is he more...
Well, Manor can be that, but Manor is... They're trying to sort of pinch hit with him up forward and in the midfield as well. And I just... I can't understand for the life of me. If your cranium is... Unless you've had some sort of frontal lobotomy, right, recently, in the last 2 or 3 weeks... Jack Henry comes in and plays well against Harris Andrews with a specific role.
Yes.
He didn't touch the ball. Like he had five possessions. Okay? He took Harris Andrews out of the game. That was his role. He did it really well, helped Geelong win. The next week against Carlton, he played okay. He kicked what we hoped was the winning goal. It didn't turn out to be the winning goal. But by and large, he was... Is that an email, Kingy? By and large, he was... You know, only just. He wasn't terrible. He took a few marks, but there's another email, Kingy. So how do you turn that off? But that'll be getting very annoying if that is going off, if your inbox is going off.
There it is again.
Maybe need to stop those.
I've closed it.
Right. So he wasn't...
New system,
he wasn't great against Carlton. And then you reel out the following week, and he's still up forward. And I'm thinking, what is going on? Like, have we reached the sort of smart aleck areas, the stubborn areas? This is where I might sometimes have a go at the coach. He gets stubborn in that he knows something's not working, but he's going to keep doing it.
Yep.
Do you think people will run onto the ground with their thermoses on Friday night? Some lady will launch out of the red sticky hand with her thermos in hand, straight over to the coach's box if Jack Henry goes up forward.
Potentially,
yeah.
That's the one that Cat fans have been a little bit.
But we've spoken about it. Yeah, the rank and file. The other ones I can't. We've spoken about it. Why is Tanner Bruin playing cross half back? I can't understand it. We've got midfielders who are not really doing a whole lot. James Warpole, he's not even getting a game.
No.
He played, I saw some stats. I mean, I think the Cats won easily. So George Stevens had a big game. Jai Clark had 26, I think. Warpole had high 20s. All those sort of regular suspects who have played senior footy played pretty well in the twos.
Twos are flying.
They are. What are they? Well, lost one game.
Yeah, 9-1.
Yeah.
They are. Actually, they're two games clear on top.
Do you think
lock them into a qualifying? Do you know what? Geelong are going to get a home final this year in the VFL.
They are. Absolutely, they are. GMHBA Stadium will be rocking. They'll probably get a decent crowd there.
If they were to draw like a Werribee or somebody like that, yeah, you'd get 4,000 or 5,000 for a Geelong Werribee qualifying final.
Are there any of the other AFL teams there? Might
Hawthorn, Box Hill being Hawthorn.
Well, you get a few there.
Giants.
They're not going to get many for them.
If Frankston made it, you'd get a few because they'll travel.
Frankenstein.
Port Melbourne, Tassie.
I don't think you're going to get too many coming over from the Apple Isle.
You'll get those people who want to watch the Tassie team run around, I would have thought.
Yeah, look, anyway, it'd be good to see some of those players playing in a final in the VFL.
Is Jed Bewes going to do a...
He'll be in that game. He'll be in that team, I guarantee you.
If they don't lose that magnet,
if they're losing that magnet, it'll be something's happened.
Is he going to do a David Wojcicki and a Shannon Burns where their last game for Geelong's a VFL premiership?
Well, it's shaping like there's every chance that could be the case.
Yeah.
The way it's going.
Reece Stanley?
Reece Stanley being...
Because all these guys... So...
Warple's come to the Cats to play in a VFL flag.
Not that you want to be running around in the VFL for very long. Like, Warple's racking up enough games that he'll end up being able to qualify to play VFL finals if Geelong happen to get tiptoed out.
And he'll be playing in a final. That's why he's come to the Cats.
It's playing a VFL.
He doesn't want to play in the season. He wants to play in a twos flag. Yeah. That's been his ambition all along. Can you explain to me what's happened to Mark Blitzarves?
He hasn't been the same since he got injured against Port Adelaide.
He's in no man's land, isn't he? When they're playing De Koning in the ruck, he had a little run in the ruck, Blitzarves, but not. He certainly wasn't your first choice ruckman. They had Shannon Neal in there as well. I don't know what's happened to him. If you're not playing him in the midfield, he's not giving you anything. They're playing him off a wing. He can't get a kick. Maybe put him into defence, but then you've got that problem is you're trying to fit others in.
Yeah, you've already moved Jack Henry out of defence.
On form, he couldn't drop Colajasny.
No.
But they probably need to get Henry in.
Well, do you need...
Humphreys comes back in.
Do you need to make a tough call? And Mark Blitzarves is, unfortunately, for the first time in his career, running around in the VFL.
Well, I think it would be something that... Now, they won't. I'd be staggered if they did. And look, I'm not championing for Mark Blitzarves to go out of the team, but at some point when you play 4 or 5 poor weeks and you're offering nothing, it has to be a consideration. Yeah. I mean, they were happy to drop Warple out off the back of what we thought was 2 reasonable games.
Different credits.
Yeah, yes, but I mean, I'm happy to... Like, we went through the mire with, for a few weeks with Manor, wasn't getting a kick, turned it around. But Blitzarves, how many games has he played back since that injury now?
Is it 4?
4 or 5?
It is 4.
4.
And he's averaging...
How many kicks has he had?
He's had 18 kicks. He's averaging 4.5 kicks a game.
And how many possessions is he averaging?
22 and 21 is 43 divided by 4 is 10.75, Ben.
So he's giving us absolute donuts.
1.75
he's giving
marks.
Us donuts in the ruck.
He had 16 hit-outs against the Crows.
Yeah, but that's like saying I drank 8 bourbons at the... Like, blind fruit, that's the most useless stat in footy. 16 hit-outs, so what?
12 disposals, 16 hit-outs, 4 tackles, just 1 clearance.
Yeah, he's not offering you anything.
So until the Port...
And they're trying to play him on the wing against Carlton in particular.
So until he got hurt against Port Adelaide, so he had 15 against Gold Coast, 17 against Freo, 24 against Adelaide, 24 Hawthorn, 14, but Bulldogs 13. But that night he played a lot in the ruck. He had 23 hitouts, laid 9 tackles. Other than the Adelaide game earlier in the year, he had 14 kicks out of his 24 disposals. He actually hasn't had double-figure kicks in a game.
Well, he's not a great kicker, so that's probably no.
And then his next best was 9 on Easter Monday, and then after that, the 6 against Adelaide was his next best. So he's had 8 games where he's had 6 or less kicks in the game.
Yeah, he's struggling. Is this the end of Mark Bliss?
Oh, I think this
is he contracted next year?
No.
Well, be interesting to see.
I think he will be given the option.
Which means he'll play on.
He and Dangerfield will be given the option. Reece Stanley won't. I don't think Reece Stanley will be given the option. I think Geelong will be satisfied at the end of the year. If Conway can get, so Conway's back doing something resembling training.
Has he got footy boots?
And it was pictured in footy boots. So, was he? So somebody who listens to the podcast, and I apologise to that person, I didn't write down your name, but they did message us privately on Facebook with a photo of Conway training. And before, as I was typing, and he's in footy boots, this person also wrote, and he's in footy boots.
Right.
So they've been either listening to the podcast or listening to game day.
Is he getting closer to playing a VFL game?
That I don't know. He's still TBC.
Is he training? List. When you say training, is he joining in anything that resembles?
I haven't seen anything in main training. No.
So he's still mucking around by himself on the side.
No, a bit of running
with footy boots on.
Yeah. Well, at least he's running.
Yeah, true.
which is a start.
I mean, he's one that.
But his conditioning will be that far off in match conditioning.
You've got to put a line through him in terms of senior footy this year.
But if you can get him, if you could potentially get him back playing some VFL back end of the year, and knowing the VFL are going to play 2, maybe 3 games in the finals, you might get half a dozen games out of him. And if you do get half a dozen games out of him, and he stands up, that's when Reece gets a tap on the shoulder as if to say, "Well, we've got Edwards, we've got Conway. We got DeConing if we need it. We got Pike potentially if they keep him on the list.
If they keep Blitzarves, they could throw him in there.
Yeah, and that might be it for Reece. And look, I don't.
But you wouldn't. I wouldn't have thought anybody with the sane mind would be thinking Reece Stanley be going around next year.
No,
would they?
No, you would think already. You think you're already saying Reece, Jed.
Yeah, gone.
Great servants.
Yeah. Blitzarves, I mean, my thought, we've spoken about this on the podcast before, but my thought is that if they're chasing Toby Green, Dangerfield may have indicated that he's giving it away at the end of the year.
Well, the report last week was that he's wants to play on.
Right. Well, there you go.
Report in the Herald Sun. So we didn't ask him about it after.
Okay, I'll ask you this question.
Yeah.
Would that be a good thing for the Cats?
Would it be a bad thing?
Would it stymie the development of others?
But if you're bringing in
Green and Dangerfield.
Well, I was going to say, if you're bringing...
And Jack Martin, with the oldest forward line in the history of the game.
If you're bringing in Toby Green and then you are stymieing the development of others. Well, if you're bringing in Toby Green, what's that saying to Brad Close?
Well, what's it saying to Ollie Henry? Because if Jack Martin's still going around, they keep talking about Jack Martin as a long-term player. I had to check his birth certificate that he wasn't actually 23.
31, isn't he?
Oh, he's well into his 30s, yeah. I mean, he's...
Oh, he's not well...
Do you have quarter-by-quarter stats there or not?
Not quarter-by-quarter.
No. Jack Martin has an unbelievable ability to look like Maurice Rioli in the first quarter.
Yeah, Jack Martin's 31.
And by the end of the game, he's Willie Rioli. Like, he had 6 possessions, I think, and a goal or 2 goals in the first quarter against the Crows.
He kicked both in the first quarter.
Well, anyway, I'm pretty sure he had 6 possessions, 5 or 6 possessions in the first quarter, and he only touched the ball with 5 times the rest of the game.
Yeah, I can tell you when he kicked these 2 goals. He kicked it behind and then a goal to start the game, and then at the start of he kicked Geelong's first goal of the second quarter,
right.
8 minutes in.
So he kicked one in each of the first 2 quarters, and then he hardly touched the ball after that.
Correct.
Like he went into witness protection.
He did.
Which is a concern that he does it a lot. Starts well,
yep.
And then peters out.
Yeah, he is playing the all duck or no dinner position on the ground.
He is, but he's one that his instinct is to fly for the footy.
Well, put it this way, Wilshire had more disposals than Jack Martin.
Yeah, and Wilshire had 5 in the last quarter, I think.
Yep. Wiltshire actually had more disposals than seven teammates. And most of them were forwards. Neil, Cameron, Henry, Martin.
Yeah.
He was equal with Ollie Henry and Dempsey, and although Dempsey's playing on a wing, but Dempsey spends a lot of time forward. Dempsey and Manor only had 14 disposals. Geelong's leading position. The first forward of note to have a decent amount of possessions, and even then you're not really calling Myers a forward, are you? Myers 25 disposals. Manor's 14 disposals were the most out of somebody who's playing more forward than anywhere
else. Jeremy Cameron had his worst game for the Cats since he came to the club.
That arm's worrying him.
He looked like spaghetti, didn't he?
Yeah.
Do you have any knowledge of what is going on there? Is it a nerve problem?
Yeah. He admitted he did some media that I went out to out at Motowari Footy Club a couple of weeks ago and said it's still, he knows it's, yeah, he, some games he feels it and knows it. So that might be just something he's going to have for the rest of his life. Just
so is it come and go?
Yeah.
The nerve problem?
Yep.
So there's nothing they can do about it?
No.
Right. Because he started okay up on the wing.
Yeah, he did.
And then he didn't touch the ball,
seven,
I don't reckon.
Seven disposals.
I reckon he had two possessions after quarter time. I mean, yeah. He had five possessions in the first quarter.
And there was one contest late in the game that he went to that you knew he just didn't
want. Yeah, something wasn't right.
Yeah. Just didn't want to. It was around centre-half forward, northern end of the ground.
He looked a bit special, didn't he? Although Chris got referred to the Adelaide crowd as Nuffies. Are you allowed to say that?
Yeah. Well, when it comes to footy fans, yeah.
Nuffies, right.
You can use that.
Well, I should be able to tell the Bluetooth story.
No, you're not allowed to tell the Bluetooth story, Ben. Even in the change of location.
Do you think, if I said to you...
If you said to me, Ben...
That our forward line, right, was going to be Shannon Neal, Jeremy Cameron, Jack Martin, Ollie Henry, and Patrick Dangerfield...
Sean Manor.
And Sean Manor.
There's six.
If I said to you that there was going to be five high balls go in,
yep.
How many of those six players do you reckon first instinct would be a fly for the ball?
Five of them.
Yeah. Why are we playing all these players? Like I'd be happy. We probably don't have much in the twos, do we? By way of smallish type forwards.
No,
that's going to be an absolute must in the draft.
Well, Stengel's your
yeah.
The hope is that Stengel could see some VFL this week.
He needs to, you know, do the running after the game.
Yeah,
he needs to run to Melbourne. He looked, his JFL players look way further than he does. He looked miles away.
Yeah. But he might as well go and get some match fitness playing VFL.
Well, I think you need to be careful with that because you start to get sore. I think he needs to do a mini pre-season that goes for 6 weeks myself. He looked way out of shape. He looked in any way, shape or form ready to play AFL footy.
So that's a wait. And that's a watch to see whether they roll him out in the VFL on Saturday. They may not, too.
I just wonder whether that...
They've got a couple of things to factor in there because, obviously, the Cats aren't far away from the bye. So whether they just go, you're going into a really hard training block and then you will play your first VFL game.
Yeah.
Because the VFL will have the bye at the same time as the AFL. So on that first weekend of July, he will play his first VFL.
Well, if he's not doing everything right off the field, it'll all be for naught anyway.
Yeah.
And we don't know that.
No.
If he's doing everything wrong off the field and still coming to training and training pretty hard, it'll mean nothing.
Yeah.
But he looked to me like he was – if Roy Higgins was assessing him in the mounting yard,
yeah.
He would have suggested that he's going to take two or three runs to come to hand.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yep.
At least That's two fair. To three. I'm not talking games. I'm talking months.
Yeah.
So if he could come back, it'd be a miracle, I reckon.
Yeah.
This year and play any meaningful sort of or consistent footy.
But maybe in 4 months' time we're sitting here doing this podcast and everything's played out really well and Geelong have...
Maybe. I hope you're right, Kingy, because it's proving to be a killer against... And Chris Scott was asked about the ball getting swept away in the back half and he did acknowledge it to a degree. He didn't have his hand up, but he was asked the question about the ball just hitting the deck and then getting swept out of the back half a bit too easily and he... You know, he did acknowledge that that was a factor. It'd be interesting to see what they do. So,
a really good side would have beaten Geelong more comfortably. Like Adelaide
are struggling.
Yeah, Adelaide.
And without Thilthorpe and Rankin, they're two of their best, probably four players. I mean, Dawson was enormous.
Mm.
Despite
the fact Tex tried to.
Yeah, well, Tex tried to knock him out.
Use Connor O'Sullivan to knock him out.
Yes, Connor O'Sullivan played well again. I mean, look, the Cats had some positives. They've lost by point. Have they been in front of every game of those three games they've lost in the last 2 minutes?
Yes.
And lost all of them?
Yep. Oh, were they in front against Hawthorn?
or was it level, or did Geelong hit the front? Certainly were in front against Carlton. That was with 2 minutes to go, and then coughed up the goal with to Cripps. And then, yes, against the Crows.
The Hawks game feels like a lifetime ago.
They were in front, yeah. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure we were in front. It was at least level.
Shannon Neal goal to give it a six-point lead at the 27-minute mark, and then Lewis Gold and the Gunston behind to put them in front.
So they've had three narrow losses and lost all of them having been in front.
But so that's going to
happen. Is Lawson Humphreys back this week?
I'm waiting for the injury report. You would think, because he was a test last week, that
he'd be...
Yeah.
So he's straight back in?
Yes.
What did you think of the other one who caused some angst amongst Cat fans is Jack Bowes. The coach actually singled him out as playing well after the game, which left me slightly scratching
because
my cranium.
Kicked two really nice goals.
Yeah, well, he didn't do much apart from that.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah, he actually mentioned him by name.
And he butchers the footy.
He's got no left side. It staggers me that you can get to this level of footy and be a top 10 draft pick.
Had 19
disposals. And be completely unable to use your left side at all.
19 disposals.
He gets a bit of the ball. He does some really good stuff. He can be very clean at times, and then other times he's not. He's a bit of a frustration.
He only played 59% game time. Tanner Bruin only played 57% game time and had 23 disposals.
You're playing a lot on half back, though.
23 disposals, he had 20 kicks.
Yeah, I'm not sure what goes on in the coach's box. I think we're getting too smart by half with all this versatility. It's okay to be versatile if you need that versatility. I don't know that we need it. That's my point. We're throwing these players all over the show. And do we need it? I mean, Cameron starts up on the wing. I know that's the only place he actually touched the ball, but do you want Cameron up on the wing?
No.
I mean, we've got Dempsey, you've got Myers, you've got sort of a Manor, you've got a myriad of players who could play that wing role. You could put Holmes on the wing. Why have you got your key forward on the wing? Not sure. And then you've got, you're playing your best key defender as a full-time ruckman. Admittedly, he played well. Is that going to be something that's going to happen every week? I'd hope not. I mean, the Gold Coast have King and then Jed Walter. So they've got two absolute monsters down up forward. The Cats are going to need De Koning down back, I would have thought, this week.
So De Koning go to King, O'Sullivan to Walter? Ken Kolodziejczyk go to Walter.
You wouldn't want the ball too many one-on-ones. Walter's huge. I could have Jack Henry or Kolodziejczyk at least starting on him, see how it goes.
They're not going great, Gold Coast.
No, they're not.
They're just going. But this is a game that they could turn
and
up.
And they're going to lose a couple, aren't they? Bailey Humphrey got taken to hospital.
Yep.
Is he definitely out?
I haven't seen their updated injury list.
Lockie Waller did a hamstring.
Yep.
He's out. Will Graham did a hamstring. He's out. I don't know what they've got to come in terms of if the cupboard's a bit bare there. But, I mean, Bailey Humphrey, if he doesn't play, we've spoken about him as a star of the goal, ascending star of the game. He's not at star status yet, but he's a gun. And Lockie Weller's quietly having a pretty good year, I reckon, for the Gold Coast. So he's a loss. Plays halfback, wing, gets a bit of it, good user. I think he was a former number two draft pick of Fremantle, from memory.
Yep.
Certainly top five.
Yep. They've got really nothing in terms of ready to come back in. That Ethan Reid's listed as 1 to 3 weeks last week.
Yeah, he's a young forward, though. Like, he's a bit of a gangly.
Yes, yep. But Geelong's defence, like, this is where I think potentially that Edwards may not necessarily come back.
And they keep De Koning in the run.
Keep De Koning going.
Jeez, that would be brave. If De Koning and King and Walter catch fire, the other one was put Blitzarves.
Well, Blitzarves goes back.
Well, he hasn't played defence for a long time.
Or De Koning goes back and Blitzarves goes into the ruck against. Do you want Blitzarves in the ruck against Witts?
Well, that's something that they've probably tried to. The only worry about that is if Witts is likely to be winning tap out after tap out, if he's able to shovel three or four down the throat of Anderson and Rowell and they get a quick clearance, you know, you might cop up three or four goals and that's the difference in the game.
Yeah.
And Blitzarves, the thing is, Blitzarves is so out of form that you're not trusting him to get a kick around the ground. That's the problem. I mean, De Koning was at least getting a kick around the ground. What, do you have 24 or 5 possessions
playing
in the ruck? Blitzarves is just so far out of form that I think, geez, you'd be optimistic to think that you're just going to offset getting beaten in the ruck by having this ruckman that's going to run wits ragged and get 20, 25 possessions. He's just not finding it.
The other thing is, too, you don't want the the shallow turnovers going forward, because with Rioli and Noble and guys like that.
Dangerous.
Yep.
Dangerous. The only thing I would say, Kingy, with Blitzarves is maybe giving him the keys to the ruck, you know, ignites him a bit.
Back him in.
Yeah. You're our ruckman for today. We need you to lift London Fog style.
So interestingly, Moyle had more hitouts than Wits last week.
Yeah, well, he's a monster, Moyle, too. He's huge. They've got a two-pronged.
Yes.
Have you ever had a two-pronged
attack?
Well,
is this maybe where Geelong have to go two-pronged as well?
What's your most number of prongs you've attacked with?
Is there five on a fork or four on a fork?
Four.
Four-pronged attack.
Have you got a four-pronger of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
What about you?
Nice. I had a...
You're a more a splayed sort of arrangement.
I don't know about a splayed sort of arrangement.
Or a spork.
I went to the petrol on Saturday.
Did you?
Yeah. And got reasonably well refreshed.
Hydrated?
Yes, I did, Kingy. I was talking Sway Ely at the end of the night.
They're great.
It was fantastic. There's another email.
I can't believe people are emailing me.
Well, what? Why not?
Oh, I don't know.
You're an important man.
Yeah, go away.
If Geelong dropped this game...
8-6, and then a trip...
And then 8-7. Oh. Not beating Freo over there, I wouldn't have thought, unless there's divine intervention.
They've just got to find a way to win this one.
Yeah, and Gold Coast back to the wall. Losses to North and then Brisbane, who Brisbane came in with, you know, off horrible form. They'll give this everything they've got, Gold Coast. And the Cats, well, they were flying 3 weeks ago. It gives you a false sense of where they're at.
Nothing's ever as good as it seems, Ben. Nothing's ever as bad.
But as somebody said to me, they made the point that, you know, if we kick, you know, three more points against Carlton and then, two more points against Adelaide, would we be playing any better? Would we be much happier with ourselves? It's a goal here or there.
The win-loss.
The Carlton one is the one that probably frustrates you the most.
Yep.
Because Carlton, they should be beating Carlton.
Yep.
Losing to the Crows by a point over in Adelaide is not the end of the world.
No.
And
losing to Hawthorn on Easter Monday.
No, it's not the end of the world. The Carlton one is the one where you think, God, playing Carlton between now and the end of the season, any time Geelong will win.
Yeah.
But they just happened to not bring their best, and Carlton were up at their best, probably Carlton's best game for the year, and the Cats weren't good enough. And 8-5 needs to be 9-5.
Yep.
But if
somebody had have offered you going into the bye that the Cats would be 9-6, would you have gone, based on the draw, you would have gone,
probably.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
Knowing that they'll come home, they only have to travel one more time.
That's not an easy travel game, though.
No, the Giants.
Yeah.
But four at GMHBA.
Yep.
Collingwood, Melbourne at the MCG.
Yeah.
And then
North.
And North at Marvel.
Yeah. They'll start favourite in all, but post the GWS game, and even in the GWS game, Geelong will start favourite in every game bar the Freo game.
Correct.
Now, that guarantees you absolutely nothing because the betting says you're favourite, but that gives you an indication of their run home.
If they... 15-8 should still 15-8 should jag you third or fourth, based on how tight that is from third down.
You don't really want to be fourth, do you? And have to play Freo
over there.
I've maintained Sydney are very gettable.
Yeah,
McCartan. What's the future of Tom McCartan?
Yeah, he's in the protocol. So
yeah, I mean, if they lose him, that defence becomes
They're undersized.
I mean, and St Kilda were popping through goals like they were.
Yeah, that first half.
Like they were Valium.
Every time the ball went inside forward 50 in the first half on...
Yeah. I don't think Sydney will win the premiership, and I think that they're very gettable if you play well, even at the SCG. Yeah. I don't know you can say that about Freo.
What you need is to finish third, go to Sydney, win your prelim, and then hope that Freo gets stage fried on the MCG.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
On grand final.
If we could fashion that, can you put that into the mix, Kingy?
I can
and
try.
See if you can get that going. What else is there to talk about with the Pussycats?
Do you want some questions?
Oh, look, I absolutely love the questions. All right.
This is off the KFCX.
Triple X.
Rob J, I don't think...
What about my story? You cut out my story about the Triple X, the excursion last week.
Yes, I did.
You cut out the whole thing.
Yeah, because it was just a little bit... I like keeping you on your toes.
I have a funny story about a trip to a trip into town.
And we're leaving it at that. I don't think playing Holmes at halfback works. Disposal not elite enough. How important is halfback run compared to the midfield losing its second best asset? Looks great having 30 touches, but 5 score involvements and 6 turnovers show he doesn't create much, in my opinion. Poor tactics.
We're keeping you up, Kingy.
Yeah, sorry.
You had a little bit of a...
Played golf this morning.
A little bit of a Max Gorn there, didn't you? you played golf. Right, some have got it tough, haven't they? Sorry.
It's my fault. You would be playing golf if your back was all right.
I wasn't. It's my arm.
Oh, it's your arm. Shoulder. Oh, when you fell down the stairs. Right. Poor tactics. Max Holmes playing off halfback.
Look, we've spoken about this a thousand times.
I don't mind Max Holmes off halfback.
I can see the logic in playing Max Holmes. I've said this before. I can't see the logic in playing Bruin or, for God, life from him, I can't see the logic in playing Tom Atkins there. But I think this is where I'd like to see. Okay, if you want to play Max Holmes across halfback or predominantly across halfback.
Yeah.
I think your midfield becomes pretty thin.
Yep.
So I'd like to see Warple in the midfield as a meat and potatoes midfielder. Can get it 20 times, yep. 5 clearances, 6 tackles.
Yep.
You know, he's not going to hit people lace out, but he's a foot soldier. I reckon he would have been handy in a game like Adelaide where it was, you know, night game, bit dewy, bit wet, tough, contested. That's his style of footy. Mm. Friday night would be the same against the Gold Coast. They've got Rowell, who's tough. Anderson.
Petrarca.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably not a match. Where do we... The other question then is, where do we send Mullen?
Anderson's
not a great ball user. Petrarca's the one... I would rather Anderson get it 30 times and have Petrarca get it 15 than Petrarca get it 25 times. Because Petrarca's likely to... be involved, 10 score involvements, kick 3 goals. Anderson is not generally going to do that. He's a good player. Don't get me wrong. He's a very good player. But I reckon you want to try and shut down the bloke who's the most likely to win them the game, and that's Petrarca. Now, I'd have to watch a bit of Gold Coast. I don't know how much Petrarca's been playing on the ball, or has he been playing sort of more up half forward? I don't know. If he's playing half forward, you'd have your heart in your mouth a little bit with Mullen. But
does O'Connor go to Petrarca then?
If he's forward, and if he plays in the midfield, I'd be looking to tag him with. I mean, does he go to Rowell? I mean, Rowell's the one that generally distributes it to Petrarca and to Anderson. So I don't know. I'm not sure, Kingy. It's a tough one, but it's going to be. You have to think that Mullen needs to. I mean, he couldn't tag Dawson for the life of him. As soon as he went to Dawson, Dawson just went forward, and that was never going to work. And Mullen, how many possessions did Mullen have?
Last week.
Yeah.
It wasn't a huge amount. Give me one second.
He wasn't horrendous. He wasn't as bad as he was the week before, but he wasn't great.
14.
Yeah, how many clearances?
He had 3 clearances.
So he's had 4 clearances in 2 weeks playing. Was he playing predominantly sort of, you know, on the ball? He's just not giving you much.
Yeah, that was
okay, I'll give you this. Everyone bangs on about Mullen. Right, if he's producing that in the midfield as a free-roaming midfielder, would you be better having Warple doing that?
Correct.
Yeah, well, so give him a role, Mullen. If there's no role, you'd have to weigh up whether you're playing.
Arngold, we've heard a bit from your weekly guests about the switch to non-contact training. Is that still happening? Could it be the cause of what appears to be an issue handling pressure from the petty dabbler in footy analysis perspective, of course? Not that I'm aware of...
Non-contact training?
No.
I haven't heard
I've seen of... Look, I haven't watched a huge amount of training. You don't get a lot out of it. What they do at training...
They're not showing you when you're there.
No.
As soon as you go, they... Get out of their Batman suits.
Yeah. We're watching lane work and circle work.
And I'm just having a chat at the back of the group.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's on this weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing significant.
And then as soon as you go, Kingy, everything just speeds up. Huh?
Marky Mark, Castanelli's number one ticket holder. How many times can we miss set shots in front of goal 30 to 40 metres out?
Well, I've maintained this. So this is where the mental side of footy. I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and I was saying how golf I think, is one of the most mentally taxing sports of all time, because you have so much time to think about it when you're walking up to the ball, when you're over the ball, when you're about to hit the ball. You have so many, so much time to think about what's going to happen. And someone tried to tell me, oh, tennis was hard. I'm thinking, hang on, you're on drugs. Tennis is a reactive sport. You can only control so much. You can't control what your opponent's going to do. You react to what they do, where the ball goes. So you have very limited time. The reactions are, it's more, you know, you're just reacting to what's happening, and you've got, you know, what, 2 seconds before the ball comes back to you. So, but whereas golf's not like that. Goal kicking, set shot goal kicking is exactly the same. You've got so much time, and it's just, and if your technique's not quite right, which a lot of the modern day players is, you know, I don't know what they get taught when they're coming through the system, but their technique is poor. And it bites you in the ass when you've got time to think about it. And so, that's why Shannon Neal, I know he's missed a couple of the last couple of weeks, so that's going to happen.
Yeah.
He's got a beautiful technique. So you've got trust in that. I'm trying to think, who else? Josh Tracy?
Yep, from
Freo. Jimmy Bartel used to have a great technique. Yep. Paul Chapman used to have a great technique in terms of their goal kicking. That's why that'll stand up under pressure. That's the same with golf. The guys who have a really good swing and their mechanics are really good and they practice that, they can overcome the mental because their mechanics are there. Mm. Anyone who's got the slight flaw in their game, they won't, because they've got time to think about it. Goal kicking is exactly the same. That's why it'll never, ever, ever improve. Ever.
Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
Boys, lack of a small crumbing forward becoming an issue. Yes, but saying that, lost our last two by under a goal. Kingy, how bad is Humphrey's injury? Well, from what we can gather, he was close to playing last week. Chris Scott basically said, look, I think if it had been a
Saturday game
or a final, he was playing.
Yeah.
Also, we need to clean up our kicking into forward 50. That goes without saying.
I agree.
Cameron 100%. Boys, is Cameron 100%? No. And just need to win on Friday night? Yes.
He made a good point there. The forward of centre stuff has been a bit skewy for the Cats.
Yeah.
The turning that sort of clean possession you can get from the back half or through the midfield into a shot at goal has been off.
Yep.
It was off against Carlton. There's probably five or six opportunities where you thought, here we go, only for it to end in, you know, ball rolling on the ground, out of bounds, missing the target, whatever it was. And a little bit the same on Thursday night. There was just a few opportunities, like those little half opportunities in tight games against good sides. They're the ones you got to take. And they're the ones Geelong were taking in previous weeks. They just weren't. And it's that sort of, yeah, that skill level and that execution forward of centre that is probably just been a little bit skewy for the last fortnight.
Trevor Young, lack of smalls, both forward and back becoming a glaring issue. Once ball hits the ground, we look slow. Thought Close had been returning to form, could have used him in the wet against Crows. Henry Ford, that's his jack, he's messing with the balance. Blitz has looked out of sorts for weeks. So, yeah, all stuff we have covered off on, Trevor. You're all over what we've been discussing. Mick Howley, after two losses under a goal and the Cats not at their best, should Kingy allow Ben to tell the Bluetooth story?
That would pep everybody up,
Kingy. Give the Cats community a much needed lift. No.
What if I went down into the bowels of GMHBA before the game just to create a bit of levity within the group?
Levity?
Yeah.
Stop using big words, Ben.
Does it mean humour? You know, a bit of sort of light.
Yeah, lighten things up a little bit.
Yeah, I could lighten things up with a few other things too, Kenny.
Yes, no.
But not all of them are legal.
No, Ben, they are.
Take
not.
these, and these. That's when I remember in Cheech and Chong up in Smoke when they're in the car.
Right.
And he's driving along and he gave him something just to put a bit of pep in his step, and then he goes, and then he looks at him and he looks across and he goes, don't take those. And he goes, oh, it's too late. And he goes, I hope you're not busy for about a month.
Yeah, right.
He was in all sorts of trouble.
Cats. Likes to ask a bit of a historical question.
Oh, I love historical.
What might Jason Snell's career have been if not for that broken leg? Premiership player in 2007, perhaps.
He was a good player, Joe. Well, he was just starting to find his feet. That was in 97, that injury, wasn't it? Was that 97? Did I say that?
No, it was later than that. Was it 2001?
Oh, he was only young. Did he play in that final in Adelaide when the Cats got robbed, the Lee Colbert mark? Was he playing in that game?
Yeah.
I reckon he was. He started in the 25, didn't he? And moved to the 4.
Yeah, he moved to the 4 after Lord went to...
Aaron Lord. What about the great Aaron Lord story, King? Can we tell it
again? Jason Snell, God, time goes by. He's 48. Yeah. So
he was a good
debuted in 96, round one.
Yeah.
Kicked 3 goals on debut. Had 2 disposals the following week and wasn't seen to round 18. It's a bit harsh. 97, he did play in that final. Kicked a goal, 17 disposals.
Yeah.
1998, he played 16 games. 99, he played 21 of a possible 22. Cats missed the finals. Kicked 16 goals all in the second half of the year. And then in 2000, kicked 11 goals. Played in the elimination final, lost to Hawthorn. Actually had 23 disposals in that game. It was the and then he played the 3 games to start 2001. Started with 22 disposals and 2 goals against West Coast. Picked up the 2 Brownlow votes, actually, in that game. And then the Saints the following week. And then Melbourne at the G when he got injured.
He was just about to explode.
So he would have been... He was 23 when the injury happened. So he would have been 30 in 07.
He was just about to explode.
Yep.
As a player.
Yep.
He was sort of... He had a slightly unusual gait and a kicking style from memory, but he... He was, that was a tragedy, Kingy. We could send in a few others whose careers have been cut down by injury. Dan Menzel is another one.
Yep.
If anyone out there has got any other suggestions of players who they thought were...
Matt Egan.
Yeah, Matty Egan was another one. He was All-Australian the year he did his ankle. Never played again.
Foot.
Foot. Anyway, if you've got a few, send them through for next week and we can read them out. But, yeah, it's never great when that happens. And I do remember liking Snell because how many years did he play in the 25 for Kingy before he went to the 4?
I can tell you that, Benny. He was in the 4 from he started in the 25 in 96 and 97 and then 98 onwards he wore the 4, which would have been coinciding with Lord going to Hawthorn.
Aaron.
And then Lord came back and wore?
24. 24, that's right. That's when he was with, and he got broke up with a Lavinia.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Oh, vaguely.
Can I tell his story again?
No.
Just quickly, I've sold it before, no one gets hurt.
No, I don't have time for stories.
He broke up with Lavinia when he was at Geelong. You've heard this story, haven't you?
Yeah, but not on air.
What do you mean not on air?
You haven't told it on air.
Yeah, I have.
No, you've told me it off air.
In the podcast. He broke up, and he was devastated, and he couldn't. He had to have a little sojourn up north, Kingy.
The Lord of Sleepy Hollow.
And do you know what? He came back fully refreshed.
The Lord of Sleepy Hollow.
Great. Have you ever come back fully refreshed?
Great call as per usual. DK's form looks to be improving, which is something positive to take from the trip to Adelaide, but to snatch those 4 points in the last 10 minutes with the momentum on our side would have been handy. With Bailey Smith and Peatling incident costing us a crucial 80-metre free reversal, is it the time that the AFL looks at global standards like the NFL or NBA where the instigator is penalised rather than the bloke that reacts? Just another thing for our adjudicators to adjudicate on.
Yeah, look.
And to potentially get wrong.
You just love to see the umpires let that go.
Yeah, the umpire should be turning around to Peatling when he's trying to milk the free and instruct him to play on. Hopefully the lads can turn it around Friday.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Yeah, I agree. You always, even when it happens against your team and you know full well that, you know, there's been argy-bargy on both sides and suddenly someone's been pinged, I mean, unless it's absolutely blatant. If it's going on from both sides, then you just hope the umpires would, err on the side of common sense, which they never seem to do.
Daz Bronco stuck in Nashville and Atlanta right now for work. Ooh. It's muggy and humid like a Cats round zero match against Gold Coast. So I'll be brief. Is Jazz's arm really as bad as it looks in that he can't use the thing? And PFD going around again next year? Surely not. The PFD being Dangerfield. Well, Jazz's arm's an interesting one. It doesn't. Well, if you look at that contest late in the game, it
looked terrible.
It looked horrible.
Have you heard any word that he will not be playing on Friday night?
No, I haven't.
You haven't heard that whisper?
No.
Or you just haven't heard anything either way?
I haven't heard either way, but he will or
won't.
Would
you be surprised if he wasn't playing?
Probably.
So it's something that, so the issue, as you understand it, is something that comes and goes.
Yes.
He hasn't injured that during the game, and that's why he couldn't move it.
No.
That's some sort of nerve problem that could be gone 10 minutes later.
Yeah, that's my understanding. Foxdog 50, gents, question on Warple. There's talk that Warple has to learn to play the Geelong way. He's a professional AFL player, not a bloke who's just wandered in from the corner after a solid season in the Loddon Valley League and a couple of cans at the pub. I'd be comfortable playing him instead of Atkins if Atkins is injured.
Yes.
In fact, if resting Atkins until September gets him right, I'd be happy to put him in cotton wool and keeping him away from anything more physical than a game of lawn bowls. Still hate seeing DeKerning in the ruck. Yes, he was one of Geelong's best against Adelaide, but he wouldn't have played exactly the same game at set up back. Reading the ball coming in, intercepting, doing the ground level work, that's all SDK. Being SDK, every time he goes up for a ruck contest, I find myself cringing.
Who's that from?
Foxdog 50.
Yeah, I'm right behind the Foxdog with all that. I can't disagree with any of that. And I'd even go so far as to say that, you know, you've got Mullen and Blitzer sort of playing predominantly, seemingly sort of through the midfield wing type areas, having next to no impact on the game the last 2 weeks, and Blitzer's for even longer. So do you have to make a change there? Possibly. Is Atkins carrying an injury? Mine saying is yes. You've got a bloke you've paid, got on a 4-year deal, you would have thought is on reasonable money, who's doing everything right. Before he went out, his form was okay. He's a, you know, meat and potatoes player, tough, grimy, possibly wet, you know, dewy Friday night at the GMHBA, would have been right in his wheelhouse, I would have thought. So it'd be interesting to see what they do. I mean, does George Stevens, I don't think he gets a go, but is he in the mix? Nevitt, Clark?
Yeah. Howler 41, 2 weeks in a row, Cats haven't played to their best almost. 1 5-day break didn't help, but as a fan, I hate my team losing with more scoring shots. Hopefully, boys are now well-rested and ready to go versus the Suns. Feel if Atkins isn't right, he should be rested. Warple, a pretty good replacement. Also, I think the Blitzarves needs a week off. Noticed in social media some people calling for Neil to be dropped. He's had quite a couple of weeks, but I'm aiming to go large this week. Neil's not being dropped.
You're not dropping a 200-centimetre key forward who could, you know, I don't like him in the ruck. Actually, I should lie. I have said he's physical, so you can throw him into the ruck just for an odd bounce here and there. But you're not dropping a 200-centimetre forward. You can drop a 183-centimetre midfielder if there's another like-for-like. And I'd argue that, you know, Warple and Atkins are pretty similar. And that's probably why Stevens, Clark and Nevitt don't get a game, because they're also similar. Geelong got too many of those blokes. Too many same. They're not going to play. Those five of them could never play. Be the slowest midfield in the history of the game.
Greg from Warrnambool has texted in.
How is Big Greggy?
He's good. After listening to Chris Scott's presser the other day where he spoke about players playing AFL in the VFL, wants to get them games in the lead-up to the bye, should we expect some changes for Friday night? Does Stevens come into contention now that he's kicking goals more regularly and kicking the ball more than handballing? Does Jai Clark get a look in? Will Jezza play? Do we select a ruckman? Does Atkins need a rest? So lots of questions there.
Well, I don't think Stevens does get a game, but...
But did you notice
that there's nothing else he can do.
Greg is from Warrnambool.
Yeah, so he'd be slightly... He'd have a slight skew of slant on George Stevens. I can't see it myself. But who knows with the Cats? Geez, I tell you what, Warple would be getting his contract out of the top drawer if they start bringing in Stevens over the top of him and he's still playing in the twos. And Jai Clark.
With a 4-year deal?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I don't think James Warple had on his bingo card that he'd be whacking around in the 9-1-2s. At this point of the season, he must have scratched his head a little bit after he played okay and then got dropped.
Yeah.
I mean, what learning to play the Geelong way, what does that mean?
He got managed.
He got managed out. He's never got managed back in. He hasn't managed to get back in. What is the Geelong way, though? I mean, I'm confused. How does that work? What does that mean?
No.
Do you know what that means?
I've got no idea.
No. I don't know. Any other questions, Kingy?
No, it's a penny.
Is that it? Well, it's a huge game for the Cats, Kingy. They're $1.24 favourites with the bookmakers, so they think that they're going to be winning. I tell you what, you'll have your heart. That betting will change if Jeremy Cameron's not listed in the team on... when will that come out? Thursday night?
Coach.
So many questions. What can Blitzarves offer? Where does DeKerning play? Who plays on Walter and King?
Yep.
Who does Mullen tag? Is Petrarca, Anderson, or Rowell?
Yep.
How do they quell the influence of, you talked about Rioli, particularly Rioli and Noble.
Noble off, yep. And Noble had 30-odd last week.
The other one's Will Powell.
Yep.
Underrated player. Played for WA in that state game, played really well. He's a good player if you haven't heard of him. Number 27.
I know you're a fan.
Yeah, he's a very good player. So there's three sort of rebounding type defenders that are very good for them? Does Humphreys come back in? Key player for the Cats. Where does Jack Henry play? How do they try and mix the forward line up to get something at ground level? Because we can't have five blokes flying all the time, which is what happened, unfortunately, against the Crows. And it happened at the death in the last quarter, last 15 minutes. It happened two or three times when Geelong desperately needed a goal. And how often do you see in tight games that crumbing goal?
Yep.
It's not often the high-flying mark and the go back and set shot. It's often the high-flying mark doesn't work out, spoil, ground-level crumb, goal.
Yep.
Geelong just don't have that at the moment, and it's hurting them.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire. Locally owned and operated for over 40 years.